of the book.
In the book of Exodus,
faith becomes sight.
In the book of Exodus,
faith becomes sight.
The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, is completely reversed.
Actually, in the book of Exodus,
what you practice is based on what you saw, rather than in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, where you have faith and you're hoping for something. But in the book of Exodus, you practice because of what you saw. What was done for you?
It's a nice book. The fulfillment of what people longed for from generation to generation finds its fulfillment in the book of Exodus. What they talked about, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has shown up,
and he is no longer the God of the past, but he is the God of the present. As a matter of fact, he named himself as the I Am, meaning that whatsoever the challenges were, he has the ability within himself to meet whatever the challenges are. So if you want food, he says, I am. No longer the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, some past God. He is the present God in the present time of trouble. No wonder some people would say he is the deliverer, meaning that he can do it now, whatever the circumstances were.
That's why I love the book. Shadow becomes substance. You know the story pretty well. 70 of them went down to Egypt, and they had grown into 3 million approximately. And life became rough. Life became rough. They started to work from can't see in the morning to can't see at night. They had to make bricks without straw. According to Sheikh Anthony Diop, their work week was 10 days per week. 5 days, one for each of the Egyptian gods, and the other 5 for Pharaoh. 10 days per week, 3 weeks per month. The rumor started to surface that this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is going to show up. Imagine the reaction of some people. If he was going to show up, why didn't he show up when we were 1 million strong? Why is he going to wait until we are 3 million strong? Why didn't he do it when Pharaoh was weak? Why does he have to wait until Pharaoh is strong? If you're gonna have faith, some of them are saying
that F-A-I-T-H is not F-A-T-E. This is our faith. Some say he's gonna show up,
and then they said they quote New Testament, even back then, since the fathers fell asleep. Because for 400 years now we've been here, we didn't hear anything from God, and he hasn't shown up yet. But bless your heart into this reality of slavery, oppression, segregation, and everything that you can imagine that confronts a people who are oppressed. That was their reality. And into this reality moves God. I wonder sometimes why God waits until it becomes an extreme situation. I wonder why he waited until Lazarus was dead. Lord, if you came last week, at least he had a little breath in him. And you could have done something, but now he is dead. Not only dead, he's at the point where he's thinking. Why are you waiting until then? Lord, I never used to keep the Sabbath, and now I started keeping the Sabbath, and things are getting rough, and you are not showing up. I wonder why God waited. Or better yet, why did God guide the children of Israel? By the way, they could have crossed the Red Sea at another place. And it would have been easier to cross. He brought them to a place. Hear me, church. God's leading brought them to a place where there was a mountain to the right, a mountain to the left, a huge sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's chariots are behind them. No job. Economy is bad. They're not hiring. And here comes Queen Foreclosure. God, why are you waiting until I get into a box? Have you ever been hemmed in on all sides? And when you take stock of the reality, the only way deliverance can come to you is from above? If it hasn't happened to you yet, he's got it in your plan. Because you see, at first you were depending on your friends because you knew that you gave him some money at one time when things were bad with him. And now you know that when things get bad with you, at least he will come through for you. Only to hear him and say, come back tomorrow. And it angers you because you see, you had put all your hopes that if you get a good doctor from Loma Linda, it's going to be good for you. Or if you took some golden seal with Cerasee and honey goat weed. And if I can only take some St. John's wort, I won't have depression. And you took all of those. And at the end you say, boy, I better try the Lord. Why didn't you try him in the first place? But you're going to wait until you're hemmed in. And guess what? He puts you there. He puts you there because he wants you to know that when he is done with you, that you are not going to ascribe this to anybody else. God does not share his glory with no one. You are not going to ascribe this to your education, your good looks, or your bad looks. He waits until you get into the realms of the impossible. And then he moves in. He moves in because he hears this cry. Lord, if you don't save me, I'm done. Because you know, there is no other one. I'm stressing this. You see, when we came into the church, we still got some worldly connections. And we still have a nice little bank account. And we have some nice insurance. And we are depending on those. We're leaning on you, Lord. But in case you don't come through, I got this little backup. He's going to put you in a spot where your backup doesn't work. I told you about this guy last week. The man's house has some inner post that looks like what one of the pharaohs has. There is money reflected on every piece of furniture. You don't know what I'm talking about. The quality and the quantity reflects that he has money. And he was leaning on that all the time. And I heard him said this week, with all of the money that he still has in the bank, God help me. God help me. Into this reality of impossibility moves God. He shows up as the great I am. He broke Pharaoh's back and he wounded his pride. And not one hoof was left behind. He divided the Red Sea. You read it. He divided the Red Sea. Some smart Alex said it wasn't no big sea. It was just 3 feet of water. A little kid said, then greater is the miracle. Because if he drowned the whole of Pharaoh's army with 3 feet of water, somebody has said it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. It was a tributary, not too wide, not too big. You ask Pharaoh, it was the Red Sea. Every soldier that went in there lost blood. That's the Red Sea. 3 feet or 10 feet, that's the Red Sea. God moved in a powerful way. I told you last week that God seems to have a problem. He doesn't know how to measure. When it comes to his children, he doesn't know how to measure. He always seemed to overmeasure. You know the story of the prodigal son? Remember, it's the prodigal son. The boy's father is the prodigal, not the boy. The boy's father is the squanderer, not the boy. Hear me some. At least he's following after his father. The boy's father squandered all of the boy's money. He gave it to him. Then when the boy come back, he bought him a robe. Then he bought him a ring. And he says, that's not enough. He got the best sandals for the boy. And with all of that, he threw the boy a party. That father is the squanderer. He doesn't know when it comes to his children. Hear me, church. When it comes to his children, he doesn't know how to underbless. He squandered. You see, the difference between the father and the son is that the son squanders his stuff on strangers, but the father squanders his stuff on his children. He gives you more than you deserve. He gives you more than you deserve. It was not enough for him to just part the Red Sea. He said, wait, no hurry. I've got a cloud behind you that Pharaoh can't pass. He said, no hurry. I'm going to let this wind blow all night. Hear me, church. He already divided the water and the ground was wet. And you know he had some old people with sticks, and they're going slow. And he says, take your time. I'm going to dry the ground for you. Take your time. I'm going to dry the ground for you. You know, when it gets to points like this, I feel if I had the spirit in me, I would have prophesied. There are some people in here that need to realize, take your time. I'm going to dry the ground for you. There's some people who are looking for jobs, and he's saying, take your time. I'm going to dry the ground for you. When I turn this thing around, you are going to go over on dry ground. I feel like prophesying to some people, this is going to be the last Thanksgiving that you're not going to have extra to spend. He is like that. Solomon asked for wisdom. He gave him wisdom, riches, and honor. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. Have you ever asked God for something and you got more than you ever expected? Just to save a dumb billy goat like you would have been enough. You know you're not too bright. You think you're bright. You're not too bright. I know you went and did your nails. Can you tell me what's the biological composition of your nails? You're not too bright. You cut your hair. Do you have disulfide bonds or monosulfide bonds? You don't know. You just born and accepted that look, I'm good looking. But you're not too bright. You're not too bright. And he saved you. And you got the gall to come and say, I found the Lord. He was not lost. You were. You do not have enough sense. You do not have enough intellectual capacity to accept the Lord. He found you. And he had to beg you to come too. Got to drag you in. Come, I've got stuff for you. He's been blessing you all year. Hold a second. All year. Some of you did not even have a cold. How many of you were in a hospital this year? You did not go to the hospital all year, and you know you don't have no medical insurance anyway. I know that you don't have no medical insurance. And he kept you all year. He not only kept you all year, he fed you all year. And if you wear yourself, if you wear yourself, I know there's a difference. I can tell that some of you not only had enough to eat, but you had extra to eat. And it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Oh, great is his faithfulness towards you. Despite all of the difficulties and the circumstances, he has been good towards you. You see, you don't know it because you don't work where I work. You don't get the bad news that I get. You don't understand how close you are to some of the problems that other people face. And you take it for granted that you're just blessed like that. I'm just like that. And when they talk to you, you say, I got good genes. You got good genes. There are people that got better genes than you that has cancer. Man, I went to school and I got a degree. And because I got a degree, you know, they really can't fire me because they need me. Need you? The Bible said, when they passed over on dry ground, the woman took a timbrel. The woman took a timbrel and they danced. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Boy, I better go back to this. I do not want to sing non-7 days. Wait. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, saying, all right, Moses did not dance. Good. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrel and danced. Well, you know, my glasses, without glasses, it's worse. With glasses, it said they danced. Be careful how you restrain the celebration of the people. Be very careful how you restrain the celebration of the people. I was at Smyrna, and there was this brother. every time he gets up to do the intercessory prayer, he will be crying. And I used to get angry. I'm like, what is he crying about? Then I found out that his daughter had diabetes and his wife had cancer. I did not know the story. You see some people in church and they're waving their hands. If you don't like it, you better close your eyes. Because you don't know where God brought them from. You don't know what happened last week. You don't know the pain that they're going through, the disappointments. You don't know, so be quiet. It was no mundane song either. Look at the song. It's a new song that fits with their new experience. You know, I like it at Imani. Every now and again, Sister McGlover comes up and all the singers come up with this new song. And you leave and you're singing it all week. It's in your head. Huh? When you get a new experience with the Lord, it will change your worship. It will change your worship. If it doesn't change your worship, you need to check yourself. With or without a timbrel. Sister McGlover, I sing good in the shower. I know I sound good in the shower. You know, it's the best day to sing. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, try Thursday. Try singing. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness after you come from the doctor and he says your sodium is good, your potassium is good, your hemoglobin is good, your CAT scan is negative. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, unto me all year you have been faithful. This song is a new song. You know sometimes our worship is dead. And it's dead because the songs are old. When you read Isaiah and Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions, you need to change it and says he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. You need to change some of the songs and put your name in there. Watch how the song changes. Watch how the song changes. I guarantee you, if Hollywood does some of the same things we do in some of our churches, the industry would close down. You're going to say the same thing you said last year? It's going to be the same thing again this year? Angel showed up on Sabbath day. He got to the intersection, turns back, and he writes, November 24th, 2010, same thing like November 24th, 2009. He doesn't need to come. It's the same thing. Same text. No new experiences. No new testimonies. Are you telling me for all year, no new testimonies? The Lord hasn't done anything for you in 1 year? I told you about this brother. Every time he gets up, the Lord save me from homosexuality. The Lord save me from homosexuality. I'm like, Lord, I wish the brother would get married. So when he comes back the next time, he will say, boy, the Lord help me with my marriage and the difficulty that this woman given me. That would be a better testimony than every year the same repeating thing. You need to have new experiences, new testimonies, new insights, because this is God you're dealing with. You think because he's been around for a long time, he's an old God? 3 days after Thanksgiving. 3 days after Miriam sang this new song. 3 days. 4 verses. The song has changed. the stench of the Egyptian soldiers are still in their nostrils. Because it's only been 3 days. And if I know God well enough, he brought them out on Wednesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, on Sabbath. Instead of singing the new song on Sabbath, listen to the ingratitude of these people. And they came to Mara, where they could not drink the water. And the people murmured. Hold a second. Miriam, I read in verse 20. This is verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" How you mean, what shall we drink? Isn't he the one that parted the waters? If you wanted water, he could have kept the dam in place so that you can go back and draw water from your well. In Hindi, they call them ninakaram, ungrateful wretches. Out of the volcanic pit of ingratitude came this song of mourning that cooked their cerebellum and devoid them of short-term memory. Where are the nine? Isn't there 10 lepers that was cleansed? Isn't there a whole church that got blessings all year? Where are the rest? You see, sometimes you can get caught up. You can get caught up with the gift and forget the giver. When Jesus healed the man, remember, he went in the sanctuary and he was just jumping up in the sanctuary. And they asked him who healed him. He said, "I don't know." Because he was so celebrative that his legs are working that he did not know who is the one that healed him. And then accidentally, he ran into Jesus. And he said, "Yeah, that's him. That's him." But he is now trying out his legs. Because now he is more obsessed with his legs. Unlike the guy who was mad, when Jesus healed him, he says, "Lord, I'm not leaving you." He said, "I'm not leaving you. Because you know what? I can't make it on my own. Because if I leave you, this craziness of cutting myself on the rock is going to come back. I want to go with you wherever you go. Because I can't make it on my own." So it's like, "Lord, I can't make it without you." Now, how can they change that quickly? There's such a thing known as post-decisional dissidence. Post-decisional dissidence. You just bought a car. You knew that the car was red when you bought it from the dealer. You knew how many cylinders it had. You knew what they're going to charge you for the monthly payments. But when you get home, something comes over you. "I don't like this car." It's a natural phenomenon. It's a natural phenomenon. You just got married. She looks so good at the altar. "Oh God, what did I do? What did I do? I didn't look at her from the side." You knew that he had a big belly before you got married. You knew that was the size of the guy's tummy before he got married. And you know that he's not going to run an exercise anyway. Next morning you say, "What am I do with this big belly man?" Now you want to change your mind. They call it post-decisional dissidence. Some of the psychiatrists says that it's a normal phenomenon. How can they change so quickly? You know, some people, not even God can please them. There are some people that not even God can please them. The farmer said, "Man, this is a nice day." He You say, yeah, yeah, but the corn can't take the cold. And then when it got warm, he says, yeah, yeah, it's a nice day, but the rye can't take the heat. The rye can't take the heat. He says, it's a nice day. He said, yeah, 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 but the corn. No matter what God does, he can't please some of us. When you were single, you said you want to get married. He find you a wife. Now you're acting as though you're single. And when you're single, you're acting as though you're married. You want to go over there every night. When you're in Jamaica, you want to come to America. Now you're in America, you're talking about gonga peas every day. They'll go back to all the time. I kept saying, you know, eventually I'm gonna go back to Guyana. I went to Guyana, then I realized, boy, I need to come back here. I better come back here. After 1 week, I said, boy, I am homesick. And I used to say, I'm going home. Now I'm home. I said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back because look, I've changed. It's this thing that sometimes even God can't please some of us. There's another thing that made them change. The insecurity of starting something new. The insecurity of starting something new. You know, there are three things that people are afraid of. Death, public speaking, and change. Death, some people, they prefer to die for you than you to put them up here. Say, let me die. And change. You see, there's something about change. When you get accustomed to the familiar, you get accustomed to the familiar, and you do not want to change. And this is exactly what God brought them out of Egypt to do. He brought them out there. He says, look, you are not going to be slaves anymore. I want you to be a people set aside so that you may worship me. And that you are not going to work 10 days a week. You are going to work 6 days shalt thou labor. And on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt have no other gods before me. He said, this is what I want you to do. You'll work six, rest one. Why you want to go back to working 10 days a week? I get so angry when people talk about worshiping on Sabbath as though they're doing God a favor. He's trying to get you some rest. He's trying to get you some peace. Don't you understand the beauty of when you come on Friday and from Friday afternoon you tell the guy, don't call me. I'm not paying any bills. You call me on Sunday, and then you worship on Sunday, so you get another day. You got until Monday to address this. Huh? Don't you understand that God is trying to do something new for you? And if you listen to these uncircumcised rebels or the circumcised rebels, they said, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Are you telling me that's what they want? You are telling me that you are going to turn back. You are willing to go back into slavery so that you can get some seasoning? Hold a second. You are going to go back to doing what you do so that you can get some seasoning? You are going to leave following the Lord so that you can go back to your old way of life? I went to Guyana. They told me, so you didn't see any girl in Guyana? Am I that stupid that I am going to go back to Egypt where 90% or 70% of them have AIDS? Am I stupid? Sometimes you have righteousness by faith, and there's another righteousness by fear, and there's another righteousness by stupidity. You don't want to follow the Lord. You want to go back to your old way, not knowing that He's trying to save you. He's trying to add some years to your life. This is the good life, I'm telling you. This is the good life. You know how many people wish that they could have been following the Lord? It is the good life, but they want to go back. It's because they don't want to change. And if the truth be known, many of us don't want to change either. We don't want to change, or we'll change some things. A lot of us saying we're keeping the Sabbath. Yes, but it's still convenient for you. That's why you're keeping it, because it's convenient for you. And when he start touching some other things, he says, man, I want you to read my word some more. Oh, the simple stuff. He says, I want you to read my word some more. I want you to get up in the morning, and if you can't read it, just get a tape and put it in your radio. I want you to turn off some of those things that you listen to. Because you see some of those things that you listen to, and some of the Facebook and all these kind of stuff that you listen to, is going to take you straight to hell. Because maybe not so much because of the content, but because of the time that's involved. Because don't you know that your time is sacred? God is trying to make some changes in you, that when He is done with you, they were slaves. These people were slaves back in Egypt. And from morning until night, they worked. They had no time for pleasure. Well, they did. They had a lot of children. All night, they're working all the time. And God says, I'm bringing you out here so that you have time for work and time for leisure, time for pleasure and time for worship. And they wanted to go back. Slave mentality. Slave mentality. Do you know that before slavery, 75% of the slave owners were Baptists? And after slavery, 75% of the slaves became Baptists. The slave mentality has gotten into them, and it could not get out of them. And along with that, Egypt was no banana republic. What the world offers, you think that because we say come out of the world, that what the world offers is not something that is kind of titillating? Egypt was no banana republic. They had prescriptions, by the way. Some of the pyramids had 2 million stones that were 2.5 tons each that fit with razor precision. They had, even 3000 BC, they knew that the day, that each year had a quarter day extra. Egypt was no banana. They had medical schools. They called it the house of life in Egypt. Moses brought us out here. No doctor. Dry sand. No water. We used to live in the Delta. Now there is no food. They started to form a committee. Can we join the Leeks and Onions committee? I want us to join the Leeks and Onions committee, because this is ridiculous. Did he bring us out here because they didn't have no graves in Egypt to bury us? Look at us now. I've been wearing the same dress for 40 years now. The dress even wouldn't tear. They got the blessings mixed up. They got the blessings mixed up that the dresses wouldn't tear. They think that's a curse, not realizing that that's a blessing. Sometimes I wish we won't buy any dress for 1 year. and bring the money to the church. They got the blessings mixed up. Nothing. The Lord is their protector. Is their provider. There is such a thing as the economy of God. Do you know in the economy of God, if you pay your tithe and you be nice to people, there's a peace that runs in your soul. That if you go to the psychologist, he's going to charge you $60 an hour. And when it gets to 5 minutes before the hour, he starts looking at the clock. He doesn't care what you got to say. He says, it's time over. You got to go. Come back next week. So you pay another 60 next week. And he says, you know, I think this therapy is going to last a whole year. 60 times 1 week times a year. You add it up. But look at you. You're coming on Sabbath. And you say, Lord, take my problems. Take my problems. And everybody wondering how in the world you can keep your head straight with all the troubles and all the difficulties that you're going through. It's because of the economy of God. And you're trying to hold on to the tide like if it is yours. My money. Lord brought you out in the wilderness. He said, pay your tithe. You said, my money. The day he makes you sick, just one ingrown toenail and you can't move away from your house. How many babies were born this year in this church? Not one of them with any birth defect. And you want to tell me it's because of good genes, but I say it's because of the great I am. I say because of his great blessings that never fail. You're living comfortable in California because you got everything to eat and everything to drink that you want. You drive the best cars, and you want to tell me it's because of your good job? No, it's the blessings of the great I am. El Gibor, El Shaddai. He has defended you, kept you protected from the busy streets. Everything has been good for you. Why you want to go back to that kind of lifestyle? Why you can't open yourself up to something new? Live like a free man. Watch your boss in the eye and tell him, I am not working on Sabbath. I'll work Monday. I work Sunday. I stay late. But now you can't want to stay late. You can't want to go home early on Friday and Sunday and go tell the man you ain't working on Sabbath. Still got the slave mentality. Somebody got to be watching over you to see what you're doing. He's trying to free you. He's trying to liberate your mind. He's trying to take the shackles off of your feet and your mind. So that when you walk in a newness. You got on the same old clothes for 40 years, but it's washed and it's clean. And you got a kind of dignity about you. And you got a kind of your head up high. And they come asking you, can you loan me some money? They look at you as though you're rich. You are rich. But maybe you don't have it in cash. You are rich. Kingdom of God is not just meat and drink. It's not just leeks and onions. It's the blessings of the great God that run it over. And I stand today to tell you that God has been good. He has been good to you. He has been good to me. No accidents. I'm not walking with any stick. Huh? And lastly, let me ask you, what is your gratitude quotient? Quotient is where you divide the blessings by your response. I give you blessings. He gave me 10. And for 10 days, I've been thanking him. That's a 1-1. That's ratio and proportion. But he has given you 100. You haven't stopped to tell him thanks not once. That's not a one-on-one. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the blessings of the deep that run it under. Thank you for the babies that were born without any birth defect. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this church. Thank you that we are still in our right minds to come here on Sabbath to worship you because you have kept us healthy. Thank you for jobs, Heavenly Father. There are some of us, Lord, that who are here that have no jobs and has to face their family. I want to thank you in advance that you would break the back of Pharaoh like you did in Egypt. That you would open the Red Sea, Heavenly Father. That you would keep the waters away. That you would send your cloud by night and send another cool one during the day. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for even keeping my fingernails looking right because of your goodness and your mercy. Thank you that I have food and extra left in my pantry. Thank you that I never went hungry. 3 meals a day all year. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our children. You have been so good to us, Heavenly Father. To you be all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, all the goodness, Heavenly Father. We recommit our lives to you because of your goodness and because of your mercy and because you have found us. We recommit our lives to you. Do with us what you want to do a long time ago. Open our minds so that we can see new things in your word. Open our hearts, Heavenly Father, so that we can become the people you want us to be. Oh, Heavenly Father, touch our young people. Open their eyes so that they can see where you want to position them in this closing parts of our history. Oh, Heavenly Father, and when this faith has become reality, and Jesus comes riding down the skies, and we are no longer living on faith, but I can look up and say, "Lo, this is my God. He has kept me faithful, and here am I to praise." Oh, Heavenly Father, may this be my lot and the lot of everybody in this place. In Jesus' most holy name, we thank you.